From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. Health officials are calling on Petersburg to maintain health precautions to get through the local COVID-19 outbreak. The community saw active case numbers drop over the weekend, but local emergency and state officials say masking, social distancing, and COVID testing are still needed to keep numbers from expanding again. Petersburg's active case count dropped to 39 on Sunday, including 3 days in a row with no new cases reported. The borough's incident commander, Carl Hagerman, reported on the status of the outbreak at Monday's assembly meeting.
And I'm happy to report that we are seeming to be over the hump, so to speak. We topped out on active cases in Petersburg of 68 a few days ago, and we have been seeing a steady drop in cases since that point. We had Friday, Saturday, and Sunday had no new cases show up. However, this morning we did get a report that there are two new cases so far today. So we're not completely out of the woods by any means, but the numbers do seem to be heading in the right direction and getting us out of this outbreak.
Hagerman thanked the businesses that closed temporarily or changed to takeout service during the outbreak. The community remains on red level or high-risk status this week. State health officials reported on Friday that between February 15th and March 5th, there were a total of 92 cases identified in Petersburg. There were 4 COVID-related hospitalizations and no fatalities associated with these cases. State epidemiologist Dr. Joe McLaughlin described the outbreak on a radio show Friday.
We have seen clusters in Petersburg that are associated with locations where people have gathered, including bars and restaurants and schools, daycare centers, and other businesses. About 44% of the cases in Petersburg have been associated with a bar or a restaurant, and another 41% have been associated with a school or daycare. And nearly 10% of the total cases have had overlap between bars and restaurant clusters and the school and daycare clusters. So,
McLaughlin said transmission had been occurring in large and small gatherings between family members and classmates, as well as in a variety of public venues. In other news, Sitka police are investigating a hit-and-run that culminated in a fatality early Monday morning. The hit-and-run was reported shortly after 6 a.m. Lieutenant John O'Shea says a witness observed the collision in their rearview mirror.
The Sitka Police Department received a report of a hit-and-run involving a motor vehicle and a bicyclist on Talbot Point Road around the 2600 block. The vehicle left the scene of the collision, and the injured cyclist was taken to the hospital.
The bicyclist, 20-year-old Terry Carlson Jr., was transported to Mount Edgecombe Medical Center, where he was later pronounced dead. Next of kin have been notified, according to SPD. Using debris found at the crash site, O'Shea says the police located the vehicle involved in the hit-and-run around an hour after the accident. According to an SPD press release, the car had damage consistent with a collision. O'Shea says they have contacted a person of interest, and the investigation is ongoing. And a fire demolished Chivac's old school building, damaging power and sewer lines and destroying a community dream. KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur reports.
It was just after midnight, in the early hours of Monday morning, when Mary Pingayak was in bed, trying to fall asleep. Outside, the wind was blowing over 40 miles per hour, when suddenly it began howling.
And when I went outside, I was checking to see what's going on. I saw the flames. I couldn't believe my eyes. It was orange, and the fire was growing, and it looked like it would spread.
In the center of the village, Chivac's old school building was on fire. Across town, Chivac Vice Mayor Ulrich Ulron woke up to a phone call from his uncle with the news and then raced to the fire.
there was absolutely nothing we could do. The flames were already so big in the gym, the whole old school gym section was burning.
About 25 yards away stood the public safety building. The flames began charring the walls.
We had to have our guys hose down the side of the public safety, even though the heat was so tremendous.
Bystanders also stood ready to hose down the nearby traditional council building. While flames quickly consumed the entire school, the fire never spread to another structure.
The south winds were in our favor.
North of the burning school lay a frozen lake. All night, the wind blew the flames towards the lake, partially melting the ice. Also in the flames' path were electrical wires.
Those wires caught on fire and snapped in half.
For the next dozen hours, sections of the town had intermittent power and phone service. A line crew temporarily fixed the wires. The electric utility AVEC, the Alaska Village Electric Cooperative, contacted a team in Tuksuk Bay to deploy to Chivac to provide a permanent fix once the weather cleared. Also, the fire destroyed a sewer line that services Ulron's neighborhood, knocking out the suction that pulls the sewage down the pipe. The damaged sewer line services the school, and the superintendent canceled classes on Monday until the problem could be better understood. The old school building burned quickly, collapsing within an hour of the flames becoming visible. By sunrise, only smoldering remains lay in the snow. The cause of the fire is under investigation. The building was a total loss.
It's very unfortunate and it's very devastating. I mean, we had really big plans for it.
Richard Tulik is mayor of Chivac. For 8 years, the city and tribe had been laying plans to turn the old school into a community center.
We had met before with the community, and they came up with ideas, putting a library, a teen center, a place for cultural activities, things like bingo.
And basketball in a community gym. The school shut down in 2005 when a new school opened to accommodate Chivac's growing population. The old school, built decades ago, needed to be cleaned of toxins like asbestos before it could reopen as a community center. The city planned to apply for cleanup funds. In Bethel, I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.
The federal government is extending the public comment period for a proposed critical habitat for ringed and bearded seals. Both species had been listed as threatened under the Endangered Species Act during the Obama administration in 2012. Designating an area as critical habitat means it contains features deemed essential to threatened species. Taking up a large swath of Arctic waters, the chosen area for the seals contains sea ice that they rely on for hunting and nursing their young. A critical habitat designation does not mean that it's off limits to human activity. However, if the government makes a decision about the area, they must consult with local biologists to ensure the species and habitat aren't negatively impacted. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration proposed critical habitat for the two species of Arctic seals in January. By law, the critical habitat should have been designated shortly after the seals had been listed as threatened. However, in part due to numerous lawsuits from the state of Alaska, the oil industry, and others, the process was delayed by almost a decade. The original deadline for the public to weigh in on the habitat was Tuesday, March 9th. It has now been extended to April 8th. And at least 15 people told state health officials that they may have caught COVID-19 at a banquet last month that was attended by Alaska's governor and multiple state legislators. The Alaska Outdoor Council banquet in Palmer was attended by Governor Mike Dunleavy and Republican State Representative Mike Kronk of Tok, the Anchorage Daily News reported. Both tested positive for COVID-19 days later, though it's not clear if either of them became infected at the event. At least five other state legislators and Anchorage mayoral candidate Bill Evans also attended. When it became clear that multiple people who'd been at the banquet tested positive, the state alerted the Outdoor Council, an interest group that advocates for sports fishermen and hunters. The banquet took place in the Mat-Su borough, which as of Friday was the region of Alaska with the highest average case rate over the past 2 weeks. Photos shared on social media showed many attendees without masks. For more on this story, go to ktoo.org. This is KTOO News.